Well, the raps just continue to roll, going into Indiana last night and beating the Pacers 106-99. And by the way, Indiana these days, no slouch. They were one of the hotter teams in the NBA overall. They've jumped over Cleveland for the time being for third seed in the Eastern Conference. And the Raps are right back home and host the Dallas Mavericks tonight, one of the lesser teams in the Western Conference, I believe.
Lesser teams?
I believe
they're terrible.
I believe actually, they're higher up. They've jumped a couple of teams in the standings since
I don't care who they've jumped. They're still terrible.
They're terrible. Well, they've acknowledged that they...
It's like trying to tell me the bottom seven teams in the league, or they're all terrible.
I believe Mark Cuban paid a $600,000 fine for saying, hey, you know what? We've been tanking the last year and a half or two. But Dallas in tonight for their lone visit. Jared Greenberg of NBA TV is here. Jared, this Raptors team, I think, is finally starting to get the notoriety and recognition it deserves on both sides of the border. I even feel that there's a kind of a pickup here in the city of Toronto. People are talking about this team, for lack of a better way to put it, around the water cooler. Do you like the composition of this group? The idea that while DeRozan may be a superstar in this league, he's not at the LeBron level, that this team, as it's comprised, including its stellar bench, is strong enough to get through the Eastern Conference?
I need a question answered first. Well, when's the last time you guys stood around a water cooler?
I said for lack of a better phrase. But you're right. I don't think I've ever stood around a water cooler.
Right. Matter of fact, I can't remember the last time that I went to go get water from a water cooler and didn't get it from either like a bottle or a sort of tap service or something, you know.
We've got water coolers here at work. You just have to know where to find them. But you're right. I've never stood around a water cooler beyond the time it has taken to fill the cup with water.
But if I were to go stand around a water cooler right now and chat with people about Toronto Raptor basketball, I would say I love the composition of this team. You know, and I think timing is everything, guys. I think that, listen, the Raptors are taking care of business, and they're doing it in a year when LeBron seems to be at his most vulnerable since the first time he was with Cleveland before he left to go to Miami. And that's no knock against the Raptors. They're doing their part. And, you know, for Raptor fans who are disappointed that maybe they don't, you know, it's always interesting to me that Raptor fans seem to be upset about not getting enough notoriety in places they can't hear that notoriety. but they want everybody talking about them. And I understand the respect factor, and that's the pride factor of being a fan. But the thing for the Raptors that I think, you know, and the big fan base that you guys have is that, once you start winning these playoff games in these playoffs, believe me, you're going to get it. You know, and I think that's the cool thing about professional sports is that you earn. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, subjective respect. It's going to be earned by this team who, you know, now they set the bar, and that's what's important here is that you're the number one seed, and it's not like a situation necessarily like Boston last year where clearly Cleveland just let their foot off the gas pedal and said, you know what, Boston, you can go ahead and take that one seed. That could be yours. We know we can come out of the East no matter what seed we are. This year, Cleveland has no control of that. I mean, the Raptors are the best team in the Eastern Conference, no question, in the regular season. But now with that comes expectation. And it's not just about respect or notoriety or how much people are talking about you. You're the number one seed, and you know you threaten to win 60 games. Well, you darn better at least reach the conference finals, if not better, right? And I think that this team is capable. You know, some of the things that I would have been a bit hesitant about, to me, almost feels like it's been taken care of. You know, I'm wondering if some of these young guys who have never been in these big moments before can handle that. But I think the way that Dwayne Casey has put these guys in different spots and the way they've won games of late. You know, I look at last night in Indiana. Look last week to how they had to beat an Orlando team that's really bad. I just like how they're finding ways to win games that they're supposed to win. And it seems kind of obvious to say that, but in today's NBA, it's very rare to find teams that are able just to take care of the business they're supposed to take care of and then really be able to focus in on and come up with signature wins like the Raptors did last week, knocking off the Rockets.
So, Jared, you know, all the talk seems to be around LeBron, you know, the consecutive visits to the NBA Finals and everything. But, you know, watching the Cleveland Cavaliers, is really the fear of LeBron just based on the history and not the present state of the team?
Yes, but I will also say this. I think you're, you know, almost 100% spot on with that. But it's also LeBron, right? Like, we're not talking about the guy who's, you know, just a generational talent. I mean, you know, as long as they play basketball on this planet, within the first chapter of that story, we will be talking about LeBron James, right? Like, so it's not like it's undeserved. And we've seen him do magical things before. And I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but I think there's also this aspect of people wanting to be right about predictions. You know, these days, you know, I told you so. See, I predicted this. And it's easy right now for people still to say, all right, well, the Cavs got all these new pieces. They don't seem to be winning games against good teams. And LeBron can't keep this up by himself. They don't have another star. But you know what? It's still LeBron James. So I want to be right.
Well,
the Raptors are a better team. But here, whether we want to say LeBron has the pieces around him or not, I don't think he does. But ultimately, the Raptors have to go and prove it, right? Somebody has to go knock him off.
Yeah. Well, and Jared, I was watching the Cavs-Blazers game last night, and there was just one position where he just decides he's going to score, and he scores. But watching them, it really doesn't feel like they're going to be able to get over not having that second guy who can score himself, like not having Kyrie. Even if you get Kevin Love back at some point here soon, do you feel like that's going to be the fatal flaw, whether they get to the NBA Finals or not, that they're going to just miss Kyrie?
Oh, sure. Without question, I mean, you know, that was my biggest concern coming into this year. Now I'd say, listen, all right, the Cavs got to get over this. And what I've been saying since the moment they traded Kyrie, and I took this, you know, from what Ty Lue said, the coach of the Cavs over the summer, is they got to go and realize the talent they have in Kevin Love. And obviously he needs to get healthy first, right? He needs to get back onto the court, make sure his hand's okay, prove that he can, you know, get back in game shape, and for their sake, do it with enough games before the playoffs start. But once he establishes that, they've got to go back and I don't know if it needs to be a replica of Kevin Love in Minnesota where we were putting him in the conversation for one of the two or three best power forwards in this league, but they need to trust him, and LeBron needs to trust Kevin Love to go be a dynamic scorer and one of the best rebounders in this league. And listen, whatever you think of Kevin Love, he is their best option because it's a known commodity. Maybe one day down the road, Rodney Hill or Jordan Clarkson are become a better basketball player. But right now, you've got Kevin Love, who's an NBA champion, who's been through this, and there's only a couple of other guys in that locker room that could say they've been through this with LeBron in the last few years. And quite frankly, I think their ceiling is way higher trying out Kevin Love as their number two guy on a regular basis rather than figuring out if it can be Rodney Hill or George Hill or Larry Nance or Jordan Clarkson.
With Jared Greenberg of NBA TV, this is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Well, Jared, just going back to, you know, the other team in the East that you kind of look at and say they could potentially be the team that gets to the NBA Finals, what's your confidence level now in the Celtics given, you know, Marcus Smart being out, Kyrie being banged up, as compared to what you might have thought going into the year?
Well, you know, going into the year, I thought very highly of them. Obviously, 5 minutes into the season, it all changed with a guy like Gordon Hayward, who I still think people, you know, around North America don't really have a great grasp on how great of a player Gordon Hayward is. And it'll be exciting to get him back healthy and see him on the court next year. But, you know, this team, like I was talking about with the Raptors, you know, so many guys on a different – each night it seems like there's a different younger player on the Raptors that – either gets asked to step up or just does step up and performs, and you don't need that same performance the next night. The thing with the Celtics now is that, okay, Kyrie can be spectacular, but then you need a Jaylen Brown or a Jason Tatum to also be great. And to ask a guy in their first or second year to do that in moments they haven't really been in, and listen, Jaylen Brown was in the playoffs last year, but not nearly in the role that he's going to be asked to play this year. And by the way, he's got to get healthy as well. I don't know if you guys saw that gruesome fall he took a couple weeks back. It was just disgusting, and he's still dealing with concussion-like symptoms. But, you know, they are asking a lot of guys to step up into roles that I think the Celtics saw these guys growing into in 3 or 4 years down the road. But because they've been so successful now, they need these guys to hurry up and do it with all the injuries they're dealing with. I think that a lot of the versatility has been stripped away from the Celtics with all these injuries. Ultimately, I think they'll still be a danger because they've got Kyrie and guys who have been through him. Brad Stevens is arguably one of the two or three best coaches in the game, one of the best in-game adjustment guys. But ultimately, I think that these injuries are going to come back and bite them. And for them, they can play the long game here because they got everybody coming back next year. Maybe Marcus Smart not because his contract is up.
Jared, when Klay Thompson went down in Golden State the other day, it got me to thinking, because I think we're all working off the assumption that the Warriors and Rockets will meet in the Western Final. What is the circumstance that would put the Rockets over the top? Because with Golden State, Klay goes down, but yeah, there's Steph, yeah, there's KD, yeah, there's Draymond. What's the circumstance that puts the Rockets over the top, if there is one?
Right, so there's something I've been talking about. We carried on NBA TV last night, the Rockets and Clippers game, and Matt Bullard, who won a championship with the Rockets, now calls games for Houston, made a comment toward the end of the game. He said he's been speaking to players on the Rockets, and they believe that there's only one team in the league that's capable of beating the Rockets. He gave a very dramatic, pregnant pause and then said, it's the Houston Rockets. We're all thinking he's going to say the Warriors, right? And basically his point was, if the Rockets are at their best, their confidence level is they can't be beat. Now, that's the way they should feel. I have no problem with that. I just feel if everyone's healthy and everyone plays their A game, right, if there is true perfection over a seven-game series by both teams in every single game, I think the Warriors come out with four of the wins. I just think their experience factor, plus they have more great players, right? Like, you can talk about depth all you want, and the Raptors have great depth that we've been talking about, but if DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry aren't great, right, the Raptors are not going to have that success. And the thing with the Rockets is they've got great depth, they've got incredible versatility, they've got guys that can do different things that really can mess with the Warriors. But ultimately, they need Chris Paul and James Harden more times than not to be really, really great. But the one thing that I'm going to be interested to watch here with the Rockets down the stretch is how good they've been defensively, because Mike D'Antoni has trusted Jeff Bezdilek as defensive coordinator to install this defense with defensive-minded players that are on the court in big-time scenarios. Is Mike D'Antoni going to trust his squad enough to keep those players, P.J. Tucker, who you guys saw in Toronto, Luke Bahamute, is he going to keep those guys on the court when the game's at its best, when Mike D'Antoni traditionally says, you know what, screw defense, we'll just go outscore you? Because if that's the way you're going to try and beat the Warriors, typically you're going to lose. And I would like to see Mike D'Antoni stick with what got him to this point to be the number one seed. And if he could ride that out, then that'll make this one interesting.
Great stuff, Jared, as always. Really appreciate it. Let's catch up again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks so much.
Jared Greenberg, heading back to the water cooler. Jared, of course, of NBA TV.